you stand with me, please? Today, if you brought your Bible app, would you just please open it to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Today, we're going to begin a brand new series on 8 keys to a blessed life. We're going to be talking about, over the next 8 weeks, the Beatitudes. Amen? And I think that this is going to help us greatly in our walk with God. So, let me read the text and then we'll pray. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for that so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So, Father, today as we approach your word and begin this new series, I pray, God, that you would just open our hearts to receive this message today. Father God, give us eyes to see, hearts to receive this truth today that can change our life, Father. I just pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to help me communicate this. I pray, God, that you will just bless each one that's here today, and we give you all of the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to be talking about this. Now, I wanted you to notice one thing. How many times the word blessed is used in our text this morning? It's used quite often. Amen? And very often we take certain words in the Bible and we really don't pay much attention to them. We just say, oh, well, you know, God bless you. We use that word all the time. Or someone sneezes and we say, God bless you, right? It really has no meaning when we say it, but we just say it. Just a thing to say. But I think it's important to understand what the word blessed means. If you read this from the Amplified Bible, it'll say blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is the man. Amen? So when we talk about blessed, we're talking about somebody who is fortunate, somebody who is happy, and somebody who is well off. Amen? How many want to be like that? Amen? Well, half of you do, the other half, I don't know. Maybe you're already there. But I want to be like that. Amen? I want to be blessed in all that I do. I want to be a blessing. Amen? And so God has given us some instruction through Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Now remember, he pulled his disciples aside. He pulled the people that were closest to him aside to teach them this. And so I think it's important that if Jesus thought it was important enough to teach his disciples, it's important enough for us to learn it. Amen, as disciples of Christ. So today we're going to begin this series, and we're going to be looking at verse 3, the first of the 8 Beatitudes, which is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So I guess the first logical question here is, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Obviously, he didn't say, "Blessed are the poor." Amen? A lot of people interpret it that way. Well, if I'm going to be poor in spirit, I just need to be poor. That's not what he said. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He's talking here about a certain attitude. And in fact, you can get a good glimpse of the attitude that he's talking about if you were to look this up in other translations. And I did that this week. And other translations describe someone who's poor in spirit this way: those who realize their need for him, those who recognize they are spiritually helpless, those who depend only on him, and those who know that they have great spiritual needs. There seems to be a common thread here, right? That common thread is that if we're going to have an attitude that displays someone who's poor in spirit, it's the attitude of someone who has total dependence on God. Amen? And I tell you what, we don't live in that kind of a world today. In America today, you're not taught to be dependent on anyone. Be independent. Don't ever rely on other people. You don't need other people. You know, we teach our kids those kinds of things. And in reality, I think we're doing ourselves a big disservice because that's not how God created us. God created us to be dependent, first of all, upon each other and then upon Him as well. And so it's real important if we're going to be poor in spirit that we really need to realize that without God, our life would be woefully inadequate to meet the needs that we face every day. Amen? In fact, it says in Psalm 146, verse 5, the Lord God blesses everyone who trusts Him and depends on Him. So we could say it this way, the Lord makes everyone happy who depends and trusts in Him. Amen? So how many of you know that? I don't know, but it seems like today that many Christians live their life sad. We're supposed to be happy, but if you look at many Christians today, they're sad. They walk around with long faces. There doesn't seem to be any joy in their life. And God wants us to be happy. In fact, Jesus taught these Beatitudes. And if you take it literally, what Jesus is saying is, hey, if you want to be happy, do these things. Amen? So one of the things is that we need to be dependent upon Him. This is God's first condition for you and I to receive blessing in our life. So if we're going to be a blessing, we have to first learn to be dependent upon God. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. I don't depend on myself. I depend on Him. And so the next question then really becomes, well, how in the world do we do that? And that's what I want to spend the remainder of our time this morning talking about. I want to talk to you about five ways to express our dependence on God. Five ways, all right? Number one, the first way is depend on God's wisdom and not mine. Depend on God's wisdom and not mine. Psalm 14, or Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. One translation says its end is nothing but a dead end. Amen? I don't know about you, but I think we all can probably relate to this in one way or another. But have you ever just kind of felt that, you know, something came along, you had to make a decision, you just felt like, man, this is just the right thing to do. And you know, you just kind of knew in your heart it was the right thing to do. And then when you did it, it turned out to be the wrong, very, very wrong thing to do. You ever been like that? Well, what he's saying, he says, when you lend to your own understanding, try to do your own thing, very often what happens is something looks really good on the outside. Man, all the numbers worked out, you know, all the you know, stuff you did to research it and all your due diligence made it look so great, you know. But then when you did it, it was a huge mistake. You heard me share the story many years ago when I felt called by God, you know, to really enter into ministry. One of the first things that I was going to do is start a church. I just knew I was supposed to be pastoring, so I was going to start a church in Vallejo. Felt right. Amen. All this stuff just felt right. I lived there. You know, it just felt like it was going to be the right thing to do. I had people that were giving donations and stuff to, hey, I believe God wants you to start. I mean, felt right. But it was one of the worst mistakes I ever made in my life. Amen? Wasn't God's idea at all. It was a Ralph idea, and it didn't work. Amen? And I'm so glad for His grace and His mercy because He helped recover me. But let me just tell you what. A lot of times things feel right, but they end up being nothing but a dead end. Amen? That's why we're not supposed to trust our feelings. How many of you know your feelings are fickle, right? One day it feels great, and then tomorrow doesn't feel good at all, right? Many people go and they buy new cars, and they felt great while they were sitting in that car and driving it down the street. But once they got home and the payment came, they were pulling their hair out thinking, what in the world did I do? We do that all the time with decisions. Why? Because we lean to what we feel, what we think, or what other people tell us, but we don't lean on the Lord. Amen? And I'm just telling you today, if you really want to be blessed in your life, you're going to have to seek God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 7, you all know it. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, Acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Amen. Do not be wise in your own eyes. The Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to allow him to actually be Lord. We're going to have to be seeking him. We're going to have to be trusting him. We're going to have to be looking for his wisdom if we're going to accomplish the things that God wants us to do with our life. So people say, well, how in the world do I get this wisdom? Well, if you were with us for our study in James, you learned how to do that. Remember James chapter 1, verse 5? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you need wisdom, what do? You ask. Ask who? God. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but it didn't say go ask all your friends. What do you think? How do you think I should do this? What's your opinion about this? That's not what he said. He said, ask God. If you need wisdom, ask God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't seek wise counsel, because it's very important to have wise counsel in our life. But make sure the counsel that you get is godly counsel and not just somebody's opinion. Amen? Really, two things that will help you in getting wisdom. One is pray. We sang about that this morning. Pray. Get in God's presence. Talk to God. Let him know what's going on. And the other thing to do is to get in his word. You see, praying lets us talk to God. His word has him talking to us. Amen? So you not only need to talk to him, but you need to have an opportunity to hear what he has to say. So get in the word, hear from God, and then also pray. Amen? Number two, I depend on God's strength and not mine. I depend on God's strength and not mine. My strength is limited, but God's strength is unlimited. My strength is finite. God's is infinite. My strength is exhaustible. God's is inexhaustible. Amen? Some of you are walking around today absolutely, totally exhausted. You know why? Because you're leaning on your strength. If you're burning the candle at both ends, you know, trying to reach to make the American dream and all this other stuff, let me just tell you something. You need to put the brakes on for a minute. Amen? Because if you're running this race in God's strength, the Bible says he will refresh you. Amen? In God's strength, you'll be refreshed. You need to use wisdom in your race with God, but you need strength. In Psalm 84, verse 5, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Amen? Who is? Happy is the man. Blessed, fortunate, to be envied is the man whose strength is in him. Quiet in this church this morning. So, what do you do when your strength evaporates? Well, let me tell you, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? It says those that what? Wait. That word wait doesn't mean to fold your arms, sit in your chair and say, all right, God, I'm waiting. That's not what that word means. That word means waiting like a waiter at a restaurant waits on you. If you went to a restaurant, and this happened to Debbie and I one time, her and I and Bob and Phyllis, we were in Santa Rosa, and we decided, you know what? Let's go to Guy Fieri's or whatever his name is, restaurant up there. He's one of these Food Network guys, right? So we walk into the restaurant, and we're standing there. And as we're standing there, people are walking back and forth, waiters and hostesses, and walking back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And we stood there for 15 minutes and never were even acknowledged that we were there. Nobody was hardly in the restaurant, all kinds of tables. Another couple came in after us, and they stood there with us, and they said, forget this. They walked out. So we did the same thing. Why? Because when you go to a restaurant, you wanted to be waited on, right? You don't go to a restaurant and expect to have to tell them everything that you want. You know, can I please have a glass of water? will you please refill my iced tea? I don't go back to restaurants like that. Amen? And the Lord expects you and I to wait on Him. Amen? If you want your strength renewed, you need to get into His presence like we talked about here and sang about this morning. If you get in the presence of the Lord and you begin to minister to Him, you'll begin to worship Him, you get in that place, you begin to wait on the Lord, minister to Him, sing to Him, let me tell you what, something happens in God's presence. All of a sudden, He says, your strength is going to get renewed. Amen? I don't know about you, but there's times when I'm just exhausted and I just need strength renewal. Now, here's what we do. I'm exhausted. Finally get home, you know. Find my recliner. Where's the remote? Pull the remote out, sit in my recliner, and just, I'm relaxing, but I'm just not feeling any better. I'm still exhausted. I'm going to bed early tonight. Why? We didn't wait on the Lord. While we're fooling around with the TV, we could be waiting on Him. Amen? Amen? Yep. All right. So we need to wait on Him. The Bible says in Psalm 71, verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make a mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let me just tell you what, when you're going through some of the darkest times of your life, and everybody has them, you walk and live in this life, you're going to have some dark hours. When you're going through those dark places in life, let me just tell you what, that's when you need to realize that even though my heart is broken, even though my heart feels like it's failing, if I put my strength in God, if I put my hope in Him, He will renew me. And nobody understood this better than David. Amen. And this is what he's saying. Even though my heart's failing me, even though I feel like my life is just completely falling apart, he says, this is what I'm going to do. God is going to be the strength of my heart and my portion. Amen. This is what we need to do. Paul understood this as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, I love this. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now, a lot of people, depending on where you go to church, what you hear taught on this, a lot of people have all kinds of things to say about what the thorn in the flesh is. And I just find that very interesting because if you can read, and you can read this text, he tells you what it is. He said, I received a thorn in the flesh. What was that thorn in the flesh? He said, a messenger of Satan. Well, you know, Paul had this terrible eye disease and all. He may have, he may not have. The fact of the matter is, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a messenger of Satan that was set to buffet him, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he said, and concerning this thing, how many of you had the devil running after you before, right? Just messing with your life. Just seems like every time you turned around, he's knocking you back down. You get up, he knocks you back on the floor again. And then you go to God and say, God, I just need to be delivered from this. And Paul said, I sought the Lord three times about it. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. He didn't say, Paul, I'll take care of that for you right now. Satan, take your hand off that man. That's not what God said. God said to Paul, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. How'd you like that answer in the midst of your turmoil, right? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is what Paul said after the Lord spoke that to him. This is what Paul said. Therefore, I most gladly would rather boast in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproach, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul said, listen, when I'm at my weakest, that's when the power of God comes on me the strongest. Amen? You need to learn how to tap into His strength, right? Paul said that instead of always crying and begging and complaining, he said, just realize that God's grace is enough. If He's called you, He's graced you. If He's graced you, you have the ability to do whatever that calling is. Amen. All right, number three. I depend on God's timing and not mine. The older that I get and the longer I walk with God, I realize more and more how important timing is in the things of God. Amen? So often I used to think that I could kind of faith my way through anything. I could just say it and God was just going to do it. And I found out that many times you can't do that. Many times it all depends on God's timing. You see, God will allow you to have certain things for a certain period of time, but he's not going to let you do things that are going to obstruct and derail his timing. Now, we may do those things in the flesh. It doesn't mean that God's involved in it. Amen? The Bible's really clear that in our life, there's going to be a lot of seasons. And I think, again, as I say, the older I get, the more I realize this, that life is made up a lot in seasons of waiting. Waiting. We talked about this a few weeks back when we talked about developing patience. But it's so important to understand that when it comes to waiting on God, and waiting, I shouldn't say on God, but for God, while you're in God, that you wait. And while you're waiting, you need to realize that just because you're waiting doesn't mean that God's not doing anything. Amen? Many times while I'm waiting, God is busy doing. He's adjusting and changing and getting things ready. He knows when the right timing of something is. I don't, but God does. And many times we want to push our timing on God, but you can't push your timing on God. God will not be pushed by us. You can't push him with your faith. You cannot. God's not going to do things beyond his will. He's going to make sure it gets done in the timing that he decides. Throughout the Bible, you'll see words like in due time. When you see that God had a due time. When Jesus first came to the earth, people waited for thousands of years for Jesus to come. It was prophesied for thousands of years. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came. Today, he's coming back again. He is coming back. When? I don't know. But he's coming. And we're in a waiting period. But when that waiting period, many times the waiting periods end like this. Suddenly. And if you're not ready when the suddenly comes, you miss the opportunity. Amen? We need to stay awake. That's why he tells us constantly to do that. In Psalm 31, verse 14 through 15, it says, "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." Listen to this. "My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me." See, the psalmist said, "Hey, get me out of the trouble." But I realize this, it's going to happen in your timing because my times are in your hand. Amen? That's a scripture that you ought to write down and make sure you hang on your wall, especially if you're in a period of waiting. Amen? The times are in God's hands. They're not in my hand. You know, that's why I have to trust him. Because in the middle of life, when it's difficult, when it's dark, and when it's hard, that's when I have to say, "All right, God, you know what? I know you're going to deliver me. I know you're going to set me free. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know that you will because I know that you love me. So in this, I don't lose my trust in you. I stay firm in my trust." Right? The problem is that human nature, and especially in our society, waiting is not something we do, not very well. Everything is being done to speed everything up. I remember, I don't even know if Steve remembers this, but I can remember years ago when I got my first Dell 486 computer. I had Steve come over to my house, and because I didn't know him much about it, and he came over and he was helping me set it up, and he goes, "Man, this thing is lightning fast." All matter of perspective, right? That thing isn't even a boat anchor today, right? We wouldn't even use those things for a boat anchor. And you know, remember when dial-up came out? Internet? Oh, my gosh, I'm on the internet now. If you don't have the fastest, you know, DSL or whatever out there, you're not going to be happy. Why? Because times change. We don't like to wait. Human nature is, no matter how fast it is today, tomorrow it will be slow. Amen. So that's a difficulty that we face. So we need to realize, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Its time, not my time. When it's beautiful, it's when it works out in God's timing. Amen? You need to realize that. Isaiah 60, verse 22, he says, when the right time comes, I will make this happen quickly. That's kind of how God does things, you know? Have you ever been in that period of waiting and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then all of a sudden that suddenly happens and God brings to pass what you've been waiting for, and you're going, hold on, hold on, my head is spinning, I just need a little time, God, slow it down a bit. Huh? I mean, human nature, I don't know how God puts up with this. I love Micah 7:7. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Amen. I look to Him. I wait on Him, and He will hear me. All right. Number four, I depend on God's defense, not mine. This is really critical today, because let me just say this to you. If you are living for God, if you're just alive, period, whether you live for God or not, you are going to be misunderstood. You're going to have people that don't like you. You're going to be criticized, judged, attacked, gossiped about, and have rumors spread on you. Why? Because that's what people do. Amen? People just do that. And our natural tendency is when someone criticizes me, to criticize back. When somebody attacks me, to attack back. That's our human nature, right? We try to defend ourselves. So many arguments in relationships are based on each person defending themselves. I'm right, you're wrong, right? And then at some point, as ridiculous as it is, even though I'm wrong, I'm going to defend my position anyway, amen? Because I just have too much pride. Come on. That's how we are. And we need to realize that that's not how God wants us to be. God wants to be our defense. I love this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Watch this. Who, talking about Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. You know, somebody said, well, you know, if I was perfect, then everybody would love me. Well, I got news for you. Jesus was perfect, and a lot of people didn't love him. A lot of people talked about him and criticized him, amen? But this is what a perfect person did. He didn't revile back, amen? When he was threatened, he didn't fight back. He left it in the hand of his Father and let God deal with it. And I'm going to tell you what, you got to leave a lot of stuff in God's hands and let him deal with it, amen? Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are those who put their trust in him. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 7, my soul waits patiently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. That's where we need to be. Now, it'd be one thing if someone that couldn't relate to us wrote this, right? But we're talking about people that, like David, that relates to us. People that understand what it's like to be criticized, to have somebody coming after you to try to murder and kill you for no real justifiable reason. Amen? And yet he put his trust and his confidence in God. Was he perfect? No way. But he did anyway. Amen? And then finally, number five, I depend on God's wealth and not mine. Now, the reason I put this in here is because I think it's important for us to realize that if your security is in your investments, is in your savings account, and is in your job, then I want you to know your security is in the wrong place. Because your job can disappear just like that. Investments All that takes is a stock market crash. And goodbye your investments, right? And your bank account and all that stuff. If you don't have your hope and your trust in God, if he's not your security, when you lose it all, where do you go then? Where do you go then? I'll tell you where most people go. Most people leave. They won't walk with God. Because their security and their trust really never was in him. But I tell you what, when the pressure's on, that's where we really find out where people really are at. Amen? When you're really under the gun and things really aren't working, we find out now where you're at. When the company says we're closing, we find out now where you're at. Amen? When the company says, you know what, we don't need you anymore. Thank you very much for your service. Then we find out where you're really at. God knows already, but everybody else finds out. Amen? And so it's very important that we've got to put our defense or our dependence upon him and what he does for us. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Didn't say, my God will supply all my wants. Say, my God will supply all my need. If I trust God, while everything else around me is falling apart, my God will always meet my need. Victory Christian Church is here for one reason and one reason only, because we've always trusted God. Amen? Those of you that have been with us over the years, there have been more than once when we got to a place financially where we didn't know how in the world we were going to make it, what we were going to do next. If God didn't come through, it's finished. We're done. We're going to close the doors. That's just the way it is. And over and over and over again throughout the years, and I can't count how many times it's impossible, but we just put our trust in God. God, this isn't my church. It's your church. And God, if you want Victory Christian Church to be in Tracy and you want us to be a difference maker, then it's up to you to make sure that the needs are met. Amen? And I'll tell you one thing, for me, that's liberating, because now I know that it's not dependent on how good I can preach. It's not dependent on how great our praise and worship is or how good our children's ministry or youth ministry is. It's not about all the programs we do or don't have. It's about the fact that we trust God. And if we trust God, it's about what is he doing? So we put our trust in him. Amen? And that's where our trust needs to be. It can't be in a job. Here's the thing about that scripture, that God supplies all of our need. One of the things that you have to really look at yourself is a little bit differently. And that is that money and resources and stuff don't come to you just so you can have stuff. You and I are nothing more than channels. That's all we are. And the resources on this planet and everything that God brings through us ought to be held on very lightly with us. We ought to hold it very lightly in our hands, because basically all we're doing is taking it here and moving it over to here. And okay, God, I'll take that and I'll move that over there. We're just channels that God uses to get his will done in the earth today. And so we've got to be open to that. We've got to say, all right, God, you know, yeah, I've got money in my savings account, but if you said to do it over, put some money over here, that's where it goes, because it's not mine. Is your savings account yours? Some people say, yes, it's got my name on it. I'll show you my passbook. Well, that's the problem. Amen. There's a lot of people with a lot of money in their savings account, but when the day of reckoning comes, it ain't going to get them into heaven. And the other thing it's not going to do, it's not going to go with them if they do go to heaven. Amen? So, you need to realize that what you have is not for you. Now, I'm not saying God won't allow you to do things with it. Go on vacation, have a good time, do things. Yeah, God blesses you that way. But you've got to be willing to be a vessel that he can use and be a channel that he can move that finances and resources through, so his will can get done. Amen? Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for your word. We are grateful, God, that you love us. We are grateful, God, that you have given us this word that was fresh in the heart of Jesus. And God, we pray that it would be fresh in our hearts this week as we realize that if we want to be blessed, if we want to be happy, fortunate, enviable, Father God, then it's important for us, Father God, to be poor in spirit. And we give you, Father, all the praise and honor for helping us this week to make the adjustments we need to make in our life so we can have total dependence and trust upon you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, hey.